We've had a pretty good setup this morning for some of the things that I plan to talk about. And this is actually just the first component, or actually the second component, of the papers that I submitted. And Bill, my other talk is in the consultants conference, so you need to come by there and see this. But this is actually work that's been going on at Stoneville since the late 1990s. So what I'm going to be talking to you today about is just the yields and the nutrient uptake and nutrient removal. Now, I came to Mississippi from Illinois and out of Kentucky to work on cotton and rice, and neither one of those crops had I ever seen growing before. So I have learned a lot over the years. But one of the first things that I worked on when I started looking at rotation work was that I was trying to be able to work on nitrogen rates on corn in a cotton situation where there's no money to work on corn. So this is kind of a bootleg study that I started with, where each one of these three sections that you see here are actually a component of a corn-cotton-cotton rotation. So at the bottom you see corn. Let's see if I can. Corn, this is cotton following cotton, cotton following corn. The next year this section will be corn, this one will be cotton following cotton. So you get an idea of the way it works. But now you notice that there's three very distinct zones in the field. It's very obvious where the corn is, but this is actually the yield numbers you see here are the differences when you averaged across five replications, four or five N rates, and four potash rates. So there's 100 plots going into each one of those numbers. And you see a very distinct line in there. The only difference between those two sections is the fact that one follows corn and one follows cotton. So all of the other nutrient components, nitrogen, potassium, everything comes in, has been averaged across. And so this difference, what I call the rotation effect, was almost 230 pounds of lint per acre that year. So what I have now done is to look at some of the factors that go into some of the variations that we see in the field. The biggest thing that we see in most situations that affect that rotation effect is rainfall, water. And we're in a 53-inch rainfall area where we're putting out additional irrigation to stabilize those yields. So we've looked at a lot of these different things. So this led us to the next study, which is the one I'm going to talk about. In 2004, the Delta Research and Extension Center celebrated its centennial anniversary, and we decided there had been a lot of work going on across the country in various parts of the region on long-term rotation work. In fact, when I was at the University of Illinois, I was one of the people that was actually allowed into Morrill plots, which is on the National Historic Register, because my advisor was in charge of those plots. So I've always been interested in the old rotation at Auburn and different places around the country. So I decided that what I wanted to do was kind of commemorate our centennial. So I planned a 100-year crop rotation. Now, I don't plan to be there. You know, this gray hair comes legitimate, and I'm 12 years into it, so I don't think I'm going to make the 100th year. But the area is eight row plots. They're divided into four subplots. So I've got subplots within a plot, and I've got four replications out here. And this is one of the things that's really different about a lot of the long-term rotation work. Most of it is replicated in time. This is replicated in space and time. So most of this stuff, we're trying to look at new technology. So the soybeans are planted in twin row production system. It's all on veg. And right now it's all conventional tillage. And we harvest the center two rows of each one of the subplots. This is the area, the reason I was mentioning the soil types, if you look, this is the Webb Soil Survey map for the area where the plots are. This is the way the field sets up. We've got those plots that were established in 2004 and they remain the same. This is actually 2010, what it looked like in 2010. But each one of these stay in the same spot each year. Now we do have this, we are rowing it up with GPS, so we know the plots. We didn't at the beginning, but we are now, so we've got them all set up so that they stay in the exact same spot. This is the rotation sequence. When I started this, cotton was still king in Mississippi. So this is a cotton-based system. Now, for some reason, and you'll see just a second, you know, I came out of the Corn Belt. So there's a lot of work being done on corn-cotton rotations. Corn-soybean rotations. So I actually put a corn-soybean rotation in this system. But the only continuous crop is cotton. We have cotton grown in the same plots every year for the last 12 years. We have a cotton-corn rotation system where in each one of these systems, I have every crop being grown every year. So if it's a corn-soybean or corn-cotton rotation, I have the corn being grown and the cotton. The next year, those two flip. So you see where I've outlined right here, you've got corn and cotton being grown and evaluated at the same time. And this is important, and I'll get to it a little bit later. The next system is a corn followed by 2 years of cotton. Works the same way. After 12 years, we've done that complete cycle four times. The two-year, we've done six times. The 4 years, we've done three times. And the 3 years, we've done four times. So this is the corn-soybean system where we grow corn 1 year and soybeans the same year, rotated. The next one is a logical rotation for me because a lot of emphasis in the literature shows a response to corn following soybeans. And we've shown a lot of response to cotton following corn. So the logical sequence would be soybeans, corn, cotton, because you see responses behind each one of those crops. And then the last one, because it was a cotton-based system, we went back and made it a four-row system. We still have the soybean corn, but then 2 years of cotton, and that follows along with some of the work that I was already doing. But to get into some of the results, now I know this is extremely difficult to see. It's hard to put 12 years worth of data on a slide and make it make sense. And actually on a poster, I have expanded the rotation sequences so you can see it all. But this is just the yields for each one of those crops. And there is quite a bit of variation in there. In fact, if you look at the continuous cotton yields across the top, you can see we've had yields in here as low as 700 pounds. But we've also had yields in there as high as 1,450. In 2013, we had 1,452 pounds of lint cotton. Let's skip the whole bunch there. 1,450 pounds of lint cotton in a continuous cotton situation. But if you look down here right below that, in the cotton following corn the same year, there's a bale difference there. We had 1,900 pounds of cotton following corn. So these are the kind of things that are really interesting to look at. Now, 2011, I screwed up. I admit that. I missed my first irrigation on corn, and it was an extremely dry year, and it never caught up. So I had corn yields of less than 100 bushel in irrigated corn. But once you miss the first one, it kind of doesn't matter where you are from there. We had pretty decent cotton yield, but corn, we screwed it up totally. So that does happen. Now remember I talked earlier about that cotton-corn rotation study. Well, this is just a comparison of cotton following cotton, and the corn-cotton rotation system here. So I've looked at just the cotton yield each year, and you can see the variation here from year to year. Now, if you look and average everything across, this test is averaging 222 pounds of lint per acre per year increase in cotton yields following corn versus cotton following cotton, which is 22%. In my other two studies, I've got one on sandy soils and one on silt clay loam soils. That yield over 12 years has averaged about 9 to 17 or 18%. In this field, which is a different field altogether, that difference is 22%. So this is, again, that rotation effect. This is an actual comparison of cotton following corn versus soybeans following corn. Or vice versa, corn following soybeans. And you still see that difference is about 12.7 following soybeans versus corn following cotton. And then you see that 2011 year in there where we had very big differences there, but very low corn yields. Now, one of the things that we've gotten interested in here, and this is nutrient uptake and nutrient removal from these sites. And this is where I am right now. I've done a lot of work. These numbers were actually developed before IP&I came out with their indicator. This is a composite of several different locations. And I've gone through now and taken all 12 years, and I have summarized these for the various crop rotation sequences. So this again shows all the data. This is where I've come in and averaged some of these things. And you can see that when you add corn and soybeans to the rotation and take cotton out, you're about 1,500 pounds of lint higher. Your phosphorus is higher. Your K uptake. All of these things are much higher in a grain crop situation than they are in the other situations. This is for selected rotations. And what I did here was to look at, if you look at rows 2 and 3, you've got cotton and corn versus corn and cotton. So that's the same year, and how much difference you can get just depending on the year where you grew the crop, because it's based on yield. So you do see, for example, in K uptake, as much as a 2,500 pound difference in the system depending on what year you were growing it in. So these are some of the things that you run into. We've done the same thing with crop removal, which is where we are here. This again shows you your in removal based on yields. This is the composite of everything, and then I've gone to this very specific one here. So continuous cotton, if you look across here, the nitrogen removal from continuous cotton is about half of what it is on most of your other rotations that involve cotton, and only about a fourth of what it is in your grain crops. So we're looking at removing a lot more P and K, because the nitrogen in the soybeans are supplied by the soybeans themselves. So in this situation, you're seeing a lot of nutrient removal. Now, this is only taking the grain off the field, because we've had a lot of questions about, you know, what happens if you say if you start selling corn stalks for bioenergy. We've had questions about that. So, you know, looking again at these comparisons from year to year, as much as 150 pounds difference depending on the year, even though we're growing the same crops. This is what I've talked about, the corn cotton versus cotton corn. You see there's variations between the years there. These is actually the average of 6 years where it was grown. To summarize, I think we're getting pretty close here. You know, there is a potential for a negative impact of rotation. We saw that in the other study where if you get a lot of rainfall in the fall, in the summer, in the growing months, like in July, for example, we've tremendously reduced yields because of the rotation system, where you get a better root system, you get bigger plants, and then you rain on it for a solid month. You've got a lot of issues there with boll rot. So we've seen a lot of problems with that show up. You know, in the centennial rotation, it's the response to the rotation following corn has been about 22%. Corn following soybeans, we saw about a 12.7% bushel increase, which is about 6.5%, which follows along with what we see a lot of different times. The nutrient uptake depends, of course, on the yield. So the yield depends on the year, and we never know in advance, even in an irrigated situation, what kind of year we're looking at. So, you know, the nutrient removal gets much greater when you get into the grain crops. You start removing a lot of nutrients from the field. And if you start adding residue to that, then you're even worse. So, you know, we recommend, you know, my soapbox goes back to soil testing. You need to have a test, soil test, and know where you stand and know what nutrients you've been adding. We are in the process of, I've gone in this year and soil sampled every one of the little subplots. So I had 240 samples come out of this year. So, you know, we're in a situation now where we're going to be looking at maybe making some soil. We have not applied phosphorus in this field. We have applied potash a couple of times in the field, but we've not applied phosphorus at all in this field over the last 12 years. And the phosphorus levels are still up almost to 100 or 50 parts per million. So with that, I appreciate your time and your attention. If you have any questions, I'll be around. And again, there's another component of this talk that'll look at some of the economics in the Cotton Consultants Conference. It'll be the last talk in the Consultants Conference this morning. So
we do have about 2 minutes for questions.
Okay.
Any questions?
Are we not ready to
Over 12 years. On cotton, see, this is on cotton. That's 800 pounds on continuous cotton. Now you've got 1,450 on, this is on a corn-cotton rotation, the two things put together. The next one is the corn-cotton rotation opposite years. So, yeah, these are the only one, only crop in there that is continuous is cotton.
Try to divide those by 12 on average.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you get a lot of
variability in years. Yes, right. In fact, this one shows all the differences here. And see, if you look, let me back up to here. This is actually in uptake for all the different systems. And you get tremendous differences out there in the field depending on the yield. But now, this is, remember, each one of these numbers is now averaged across 16 samples per year. We've got four replications and four subsamples. So there's actually 16 observations going into each one of those means, as opposed to a single one each year. Any other questions?
You said that you still have 50 units of bee out of the field right now. You haven't applied any bee at all in 12 years?
Right.
So where were you when you started?
Most of it was over 100. If you come to the next talk, there's a discussion in there of that. Because one of the things I'm looking at now, and if you're at the Southern Branch American Society of Agronomy meeting in San Antonio, you'll see even more discussion of this. What's happening is we don't see much change in soil test P in this study at all. Over the 12 years, if you look at the beginning versus the end, there's very little difference in continuous cotton, particularly, but you don't, you see we're not removing a whole lot. You see quite a bit of uniformity across there. Now, potash, you know, it fluctuates some because we're making potash applications. And with these grain crops, you're pulling a lot of potash off the field. But this area originally was in horticultural crops. And the potash level, one of the reasons for going here was to see if we could pull it down with time. And the potash is pretty evident that we're pulling it down. In fact, I'm making a potash application this year to raise it back up some. But we're still above the recommended levels of where we would make an actual application. So it's in a well-fertilized area. Okay, thank you.